Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the September 8th, 2025 meeting of the University City Council to order at 6:30 p.m. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Teeman.
Present.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Brennan.
Present.
Councilmember Fuller.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Carr.
Here. Before you have the agenda, we've had a couple of conversations. I think the city manager would like to move items K3. 4, 5, is that correct?
That's correct.
3, 4, 5 off the consent agenda and move them to the city manager's report. Is there such a motion? Council Member Munson?
Yes, sir. I'm going to actually add one more, and that's item 6.
Okay. You have before you a motion to take most of the consent agenda, 3, 4, 5, and 6, to the city manager report. I think there's still a motion made by Councilmember Brenner, is that correct? There's second. Second by Councilmember Teeman. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before your proclamation for the University City Senior School Class of 1975, celebrating 50th class reunion. All members of council will sign that later on this evening, and we would like to make sure that we congratulate Councilmember Quayne Smotherson as a member of that class and one of our graduates of University City High School. Okay, I apologize, I skipped. I've been taking the school right in front. We had a motion to amend, which I believe we approved, and then we have the agenda as amended. Is there a motion to approve the agenda amended by Councilmember Smotherson, second by Councilmember Teeman? Is there a discussion? Hearing that, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Congratulations again on the proclamation. You have before you the minutes from the August 11th, 2025 regular session. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Councilmember Brenner, seconded by Councilmember Clay. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Tonight we have the pleasure of swearing in Jane Schaefer to the Arts and Letters Commission. Ms. Schaefer will come forward. City Clerk East will administer the oath.
Do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications and am not subject to any of the disqualifications, namely the charter for the office I am about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of the University City.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of University City.
That I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice.
That I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice.
Thank you very much. As always, we appreciate the service of all our members of the community to help us keep this place running. Please also note that Hope Warren was sworn in the Arts and Letters Commission on August 28th in the City Clerk's office. We've now come to our first section of citizen participation. For those of you who just walked in the room, there are sign-up sheets over by the door. Please pick one up if you'd like to speak on either an agenda item or a non-agenda item. Please mark the form believe we have anyone at this time speaking on a non-agenda item. So unless someone just walked in speaking on a non-agenda item, we will move forward. We pass this participation and go to the first section of council comments. Are there any council comments at this time? Councilmember McMahon.
He wanted the record to reflect that didn't vote on approval of the minutes. I would ask him to abstain.
Thank you. Councilmember Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. I'll be brief, but I wanted to acknowledge something that has gotten so many attention recently. There's a proposed development in the old, well, the United Hebrew Cemetery Forest. Some of you may have heard about this. There's certainly been some traffic online and our social media platforms, and personally I don't find social media the most productive venue for conversation. So I have chosen not to engage, and frankly did so with the council of my ward colleague, Councilman Smotherson. But I do want to address some of the information out there. Councilman Smotherson and I met with the residents in the area immediately surrounding the proposed development. Those residents on Mandel, Wayne, Eastover, Westover, and Fairview. And Councilman Smotherson, to his credit, really was the catalyst for pulling this meeting together. And we heard from them directly. And I will say that all voices are valid, certainly those in University City, everyone has the right to speak. But I think the most significant voices are those who are most impacted by anything. And in this particular case, it is those directly impacted by the development. And we heard their concerns, and we committed to take those concerns to the developer, and we've done that. And we are looking to create another opportunity for those residents to meet again and have those concerns aired and answered. And so that's the process we're taking as we move forward with this. So again, everyone is entitled to have a voice and have an opinion. That's one of the great things about this country and this community. But for me personally, the voices I'm most concerned about are the voices of those who are most impacted. And those are the residents who will immediately impact.
Any other comments at this time? Councilor Tiemann.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor. I noticed that one of the people that wanted to speak tonight, this is my comments are tangential to my honorable colleague, associate myself with his comments. But one of the people I noticed that was going to speak tonight was Ms. Brick, who lives at on Wilson Avenue. This is 1079, and I chance, if you will, feel very invested in this, because that's the house my wife grew up in, that is being flooded. I don't want to, shall we say, hijack her concerns or anything, but I simply want to say that in addition to the immediate problems of folks are having with this, we have to address the myriad of other group problems, one of which is pre-existing impermeable surfaces. We have, you know, in one example would be right down the street from Wilson Avenue, the place that has been occupied by Siemens City and all of that. Right now, University City has 42% of our city paid. I think it's crazy, in addition to what my honorable colleague said, that we think about paving more, we should be thinking about trying to make the pre-existing surfaces permeable, because literally our neighbors cannot live with this. They literally cannot live with this. We've had two people die already. And I simply want to add that we need to keep in mind, and I'll close on this moment, on this, we need to keep in mind the root causes of these problems and then tie them to the suffering of those individuals. Thank you.
Hearing no other comments, we'll move forward with the public hearings. We have two public hearings this evening. The first public hearing is on 711 and 717 Kingsland Community Improvement District and the city's tax on industrial revenue bonds for that project in 2025. This hearing is open at 6:40 p.m. By the request to speak, I have no request to speak. speak. Madam Clerk, did you have any written comments provided to you today?
There are none.
So if there are no written comments and no requests to speak, I'll close this hearing at 6:40 p.m. The second public hearing we have received is for the public comments on the use of the remaining committee for access and local origination programming funds, commonly known as CALA. We have four different speakers who would like to speak. Each one will be called to the mic. Each one can speak for up to 5 minutes. And when you come to the microphone, you'll turn the, push the button on, the green light will come on, and you'll speak for 5 minutes, give your name and address, and we'll move on to the next speaker. Our first request to speak is Chris Blumenhorst. The hearing is open at 6:41.
Test. Hello, I'm Chris Blumenhorst. I live at 6615 Waterman Avenue. I'm an involved citizen here in University City, and I'm here 4 years as president of the Southern Meyer Board of Directors. And
hello, I'm Beverly Brandt. I live at 1231 Purdue. I'm a 30-plus year president of University City, taught in the school district for about 10 years. We are here, of course, to discuss the distribution of funds from I'm also on the board of the Southern Meyer.
Just a quick review. The Southern Meyer Farmhouse is the oldest house in University City, and it was built in 1872. At one time, the farm stretched from Sutter to Pennsylvania, from Isle to Essel. It was a very large parcel of land. Over the years, the farm parcel was sold off to what was left was a small half-acre lot with an old farmhouse. In 2003, a society was developed to preserve this old house of University City. We now, as board members, preserve the house through tours, through programming such as educational programs. We've had authors come speak about their books. We've had music and art shows. What we've done is we've partnered with the school district of University City, especially the high school in Pershing. I think most of you received our newsletter that was all written by University City High School students. We also are part of a program of a commission of 32 historic sites in St. Louis, which we're gathering up for the 250th birthday of the United States. As Ms. Brandt said, we are here to talk about the CARE funds, county funds. We certainly could use some money. The money is through donations that run the organization and maintain the farmhouse. You, the city, owns it. We rent it for $1 a year, but we maintain it. Currently, we're working on tuck pointing and painting. And as you know, if you live in an old house, tuck pointing is not cheap. We're going to do the painting, the board of directors and some of our members, but we have to hire someone to tuck point. Additionally, we'd like to do some programming more with the school district, which is really one of the ideas is to interview former family members of the Sutter and Meyer families and have them put on or document their memories of the house as an educational program. How does this fit into the origin of the mission of Galen? Is that part of this is responsibility of the arts, the culture, the historic significance of University City. You can't get anything deeper than the oldest house in University City. We had, just this summer, students come from fourth grade schools, fourth grade classes in summer school, and build replicas of the house. I mean, that's just great. That's what we do. So I'm going to pass this over to Bev a little more to conclude, but we really appreciate your consideration.
Of course, as Chris has said, that we would like a portion of the CALA funds for the Sutter Meyer House. It's an opportunity to reach out to the community, educate the community about the history of University City. If you know me, you know that that is what I now do for a living, that I am a historic preservation contractor, and that this house and many others in our historic community are important to me, and I'm sure to others as well. Sorry, I've got to get in my phone. That's where my notes are. We would like to, you know, as Chris said, help have funds that help us with documentation and with community outreach. We'd be glad to give you a more detailed plan. I realize that this is just 5 minutes of us talking, and that this is there. There could be a decent amount on the table. course, we don't want the whole font, but we would love to be able to give you a more detailed plan. And if you would like that from us, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us. Thank you.
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Our next request to speak is David Sandell.
Thank you. My name is Dave Sandell. I live at 6910 Washington Avenue, and I have a business by the name of My Neighborhoods at 6900 Delmar, involved in Smart City Technologies. I put together a short high-level executive summary that's titled Lettering Caleb Funds for Future Digital Future in University City. How many of you have recently seen the announcement we made regarding Delmar Digital Main Street? Fantastic. Reading from my document here, proposal, extend Delmar Digital Main Street to Olive and Olive University City. The Delmar Digital Main Street Initiative recently launched in the Delmar Loop integrates smart city technologies, streaming video, intelligent community Wi-Fi, and digital engagement platforms. What we did not announce was that we spent the last 3 years developing a digital district app between 9 neighborhoods and 15 Washington University students. The app allows businesses and residents to do new things in new ways that they couldn't do before. With Caleb's support, the program could be scaled to serve residences, businesses, schools, and local government in University City, creating a citywide digital infrastructure that is inclusive, equitable, and forward-looking, and allows everyone to broadcast. Thank you. This is for the public record. I can send you a PDF if you'd like.
Thank you, David. City clerk will take receipt of that.
Thank you. And I'm with you, City High School.
Our next request to speak is K. Gage.
Good evening. Again, my name is Kay Gage. I'm a resident at 7817 Cornell, and I am in front of you as a member of the school board. I serve as the board secretary for the school district of University City. I'm a lifetime resident of this city, and I too graduated from the University City High School class of 1986. I'm standing before you on behalf of the board to express our support of capital funds being used, handled by the Arts and Letters Commission, where they would oversee distribution of those funds to students at University City High School. Again, as a resident and graduate of University City, I recall and do know the rich history that we have in the area of music. All of you, I'm sure, are familiar with Tom Brokey. We had an amazing jazz band at University City, and we have a promising and growing music department with a marching band and just other arts in the area, textiles, visual arts. And you've seen the displays that have been present in the library. And so, as on behalf of the board, we are asking that these funds be handled by the Arts and Letters Commission for distribution to support our students at the high school. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our last question.
And in the district, not just the high school. Sorry about that.
Thank you very much. The last request to speak is Andrew Wolf.
Okay, I'm the next contestant. I'll use City, the person. I'm class of 87. I've known kids since kindergarten. I worked the last 5 years with the Blooming Horse at High School. I coached the Waterville Twin Teams. I got my haircut at
Good Hair.
So, you cut me, I believe, black and gold. Okay, so, 730 Lena, from the T South. So, originally, Calla, a long time ago, Mayor Crow was Councilman Crow and sat on the Calla Council where we presented. We wanted to do a short 30-minute film documentary on the Searchlight, we were proposing matching funds from CALIP. It was going to cost about $30,000. This was a while ago. CALIP sort of didn't really respond to anything. It kind of folded as an organization. Now you have $150,000. What I did find out was the Searchlight doesn't work, or did not work then. So obviously, you can't put the cart in front of the horse. I'm also on the UCIN Historical Society, so I'm here to represent them. It's $45,000 for the elevator to be lifting the light out. We now work with the fire chief who runs the light, or when it gets back up, will be handling it. My film project is separate than the Historical Society's one for money. They're kind of symbiotic. This is the origin story. If you see it was a comic book, this is the origin story. It shines light on the horse park, brought everybody over. Mayor Lewis, or before he was Mayor Lewis, and I said, I'm going to build a city. So it's kind of like part of our thing. It's not really been funded since the 60s. There's only one person that knew how to turn it on and off, Mayor Kaufman's son. And he has turned it over. And so anyway, long story short, we want to make a documentary about this film because people that are younger than people in this room don't even know it exists. Nobody at the school knows it exists. They're not allowed to see it turn dark. I think the last time was the 75th anniversary of the library when they last turned it on. And that was a while ago. So this is like, nothing can outdo City the Searchlight. It's not on the original blueprint of the building because it was bought after the blueprints and it was started building and they retrofitted the top. So it's, you know, predates our actual municipality. I had the privilege of watching Mr. Rose speak at UC High School to the teachers on day one, and I cornered him outside, thank you for your time, and said what we would really like to do is establish a day, maybe G. Lewis's Founders Day birthday celebration, and have where we close down the parking lot of the library and have a big festival with food trucks and kids and big festival and everything. So we would, and you said in concept you were behind that. So if we could generate some of this $154,000, I love the Southern Meyer House. I love K. Ross. Love U City Schools. So money should go to those as well. A rising tide lifts all boats. And I think with $154,000, you guys can see fit to divvy it up for the movie that will. We've all seen the Arch movie, right? At the bottom of the Arch. And that won the Academy Award for Best Documentary of the Year it came out. So we're trying to do the same thing, not win the Academy Award, but make a really solid film. It's all U City High School people. Liz Sturbins lives out in LA and Hollywood, produces TV shows. Nathan Williamson runs and owns Silverback Gorilla Productions, and they handle all the communications and filming for the Hall of Fame chess and do all the live chess things across the board. So, very professional people. All U City graduates are part of this crowd. Marlon West, I don't know if you're familiar with him, he's one of the head Disney animators, he's behind the project, he's willing to give money. So the film is asking for matching funds, so maybe $15,000, and the Historical Society, the cost is $45,000 to fix the elevator. And then if some money could be put aside in endowment or escrow, or whatever you guys want to call it, where it could fund, you know, 10 or 15 years of repairs if they were to have to come up, so that we don't have to keep fighting this battle with the Searchlight. And it's one of the most, if not the most unique things. If I sat here and told you, what we need is a gimmick, and I want $500,000 to build the world's largest and oldest spotlight, and I want to retrofit the roof and put it on top, and we could film and we could do all the stuff you guys would think I'm crazy. But it's sitting up there, and it's dormant, and it's gaining dust daily. So, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. That concludes the oral presentation for the CALIP Fund. It's my understanding from the city clerk that we did have written comments provided to the Historical Society that I think have been provided to members of council and will be made a part of the record of this hearing. With no one else requesting to speak, I will close this hearing at 6:55 p.m. and move on to the next agenda item, which is the consent agenda. Before you have a consent agenda item with items K1, K2, and K7. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Motion made by Councilmember Smothers. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember Fuller. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Councilmembers, this first item asks, which is now item L6, asks that the Mayor and Council authorize replacement of 95-gallon refuse containers. And I have with me tonight the City Manager, Brooke Sharp, that will be presenting. Ms. Sharp.
Honorable Mayor and members of the City Council, good evening. Just providing some clarification on this agenda item as the cover form in the estimate that was received, there's some inconsistencies. So we prepared the cover form, but realized that we could get more containers since we had a low bid. Our lowest bidder had us at $32,000, I believe, for the first round with 560. So we budgeted about $40,000. This is to replace the trash containers that people have at their homes. As you guys know, they go through wear and tear, they get broken. So each year we budget to replace those. So we're actually able to get more. Initially, we were looking at 560 95-gallon containers for $32,000. We're now requesting to purchase 624 for $38,568, which puts us right under our budget of $40,000 for this year. One other clarification, this is a capital improvement project, but the funding will come from Fund 8, which is the Solid Waste Fund. So if there are any questions, I can answer them, but again, we just wanted to provide clarification because there was some inconsistency in the documents.
Other questions? Other questions, Ms. Sharp? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Councilmember Thiemann, is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council, this next item, item L7, asks that the Mayor and Council consider approval of a contract with MGT to provide interim director of parks, recreation, and public area maintenance services. The proposed agreement is for a total of $108,000 for a 6-month period. I have Ms. Sharp here. She and I are both going to be responding to questions that you might have.
Other members of council have questions on this item? Councilmember Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. And thank you, Deputy Director Sharp. I'm certainly familiar with temp services. I've not seen it necessarily deployed for an executive level position like this. So could you talk a little bit about how that would work in this context?
Sure. So the individual that's been identified to serve as our temporary employee is a retired city manager. So he has a range of experience. So as you know, a national search for a director is going to take us around 6 months or so. That's the recruitment process, the reviewing applications, initial interviews, second interviews. With this position, we usually conduct a tour. So it's an extensive process to make sure we get a good director on board with us. So because it will take 6 months, we are requesting to have an interim person put in place. So this gentleman would join our team for at least 6 months is how long it would be. He would come in, help us, you know, run the department. He would get up to speed. Of course, with my assistance, I've already been diving into more into the Department of Parks, Recreation, and Public Areas Maintenance. So he would essentially serve as the director and help us continue to move projects forward, such as the driving range project, for example, while we conduct our search. It basically means we don't have to stall right here while we are searching for a permanent replacement.
So they're
There's an individual that she had in mind that has the requisite qualifications that she believed would be appropriate for the role.
Yes, correct. We identified a candidate when we realized that the cost would, of course, exceed the threshold for the city manager. We brought it to council for consideration.
Other questions? Mr. Fuller.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor. Will this temporary candidate also be able to apply for this position? How are we handling that?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Fuller, we don't prevent the individual that operates in this kind of role from applying. It would be unusual for that to occur. I work with a number of these types of companies. Most of them are often retired, and so you know they enjoy doing them or working and going back and playing with kids.
Thank you, Mom.
Councilor McMahon.
You first.
You got it all about the same time.
Keep going.
Maybe tangentially related, but thank you, Mayor Brooke. Is the national search that we're going to do to have the new parks, director, and all of that? If we go back to the last time you did it, I think we had difficulty hiring one.
Thank you, Mayor Pearl. The question that I have is, and I'm not sure who answers that, is with the interim, with the hiring of the interim consultant, will they be able to pick up from where the previous director left off? And what I mean by that is that we had a study session that was planned that was actually going to be an updated evaluation of Centennial Commons and our recreational facility. one of those issues being that we have a room that sits there directly in front when you walk into Centennial Commons that has not been updated or in use for 5 years, since COVID. That's the first room you see when you walk in and the last room you see when you walk out. So again, my question is, will this interim consultant be able to then bring this new evaluation to the council?
Council members, between the two of us, yes, I do still have an intent for that to come before the council. I've actually been speaking with the staff at Centennial Commons. We also intend to provide an update or a flashback, if you will, a review of the summer camp that we did as well. So yes, that is, again, the point of bringing on the interim is that we can hopefully continue at a steady pace and we don't have to stall right here until we find a new director and wait for that person to get on board. So I've already been diving into that the last couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Other questions? Councilmember Brennan.
Thank you for the question asked about whether or not the employee could, or the contract employee could apply. There is a non-solicitation clause in here. So it's really no, unless we did something in particular to the contract, correct?
Earlier, Councilmember Brown, as part of the contract, I'm not sure what section it is, it talks about the ability of the city to hire a temporary person, but typically when you do that, there is a fee that you end up paying the company for that. Again, it is unusual for the individual, especially a retired individual, to have an interest in a permanent position, but we may an option that allows the city to pursue that should you so desire.
And that is on page 4, section 5.04, termination agreement to execute temp to hire options. And it breaks down, depending on how long that person would be with us, the fee we have to pay if we were to hire them. But I can assure you, the gentleman that we have in mind is retired and he has no intentions of applying for the position.
Other questions? Seeing none, is there a question to approve the NGT contract for interim parks, recreation, public areas, and infrastructure? Such a motion. Motion made by Councilmember McMahon. Is there a second? Second by Councilmember Brenner. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this next item 12A, asks that the Mayor and Council consider approval of emergency server purchase for cost of $192,241.96. I have Deputy City Manager Chris Craigle here that will present this item. Mr. Craigle.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. This item, we have a server that has 5 of 6 drives. It's currently down. It's on its last drive. If this goes out, we lose some of our software functions here within the city. So,
maybe we'll move the mic a little bit closer.
So, like I was mentioning, 5 of 6 drives are down on the storage area network on the server. So if that the final drive were to go out, we would be losing our systems like New World, Laserfish, those kind of items. There's more items on that same server, but those are some of the major ones we use for the public and internally.
Councilmember Brenner.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you. Do we get other additional bids?
Yeah, so we did it wasn't like through a formal bid process since this is an emergency purchase, but we did call around to three vendors that we usually use and to get quotes. The quotes weren't, say, apple to apple. They provided different options. There were some software options that were more of like a test. They're not really used, and we didn't think that was a good idea to be the test subject for some of them. Other options were similar, but didn't have the warranties or the extended life program, so this was the best option. The one that I provided was through the IT manager's review is the best option that we came up with.
Other questions? Lisa, did one.
I have one question, thank you. So how long has the server, like if five, six, did you say five of the drives are down or six of the drives are down?
Five to six, yeah.
Five to six are down. How long has the server been like, starting to fail?
That's a great question. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know if there was a system tracking when they were failing, but I have Eric Walls here. He might know if you want me to.
Hey, how you doing? So you was asking how long the server and the storage area has been degrading. Right now, the environment is all the equipment is end of life. So that means that they're not supporting it anymore. So these machines are just sitting there basically running their hopes and dreams right now.
So we've known for a little while that we were
becoming I guess so. I believe because of the disconnect between the previous IT manager and the time that went past, some of that has been, you know, got missed in the shuffle.
My question may be more for Mr. Grateful from the city manager. I see this is, we're taking this from several accounts, but I don't know what the accounts necessarily represent. You have 50%, 25%, 25%. What do they denote?
Yeah, so 50% from the general fund, 25 from the parks fund, and 25 from the parks and stormwater fund, and then 25 from the solid waste fund reserve.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Thank you. I always have to chuckle, as I say, it may not have been fair to have you had your first one come up for $192,000 as an emergency request. Mr. Kramer, will be welcome to University City.
Yes, thank you.
Are there additional questions on this matter? Mr. Fuller.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor. Understand, I am the least person to ask technical here. I'm assuming that this is a major upgrade to our existing system in addition to the fact that they're all failing. Is that correct?
It is. It's a large upgrade. We're not replacing necessarily 100% like for like. It will be an upgrade with what we're doing. And then at the next budget section in the next year, some of this cost will go down because some of the services we're using now we won't have to use in the future because of what we're getting. But
Thank
for the first year, there's a little bit higher cost.
Thank you. Any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Fuller. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm aware of council members. This next item is number 9. Ask that the mayor and council consider moving $60,000 from ERSP reserve funds to cover FY 24 facade improvement projects. Ms. Sharp?
Yes, so we have 4 projects that were completed in the current fiscal or in the previous fiscal year. So fiscal year 25, they were completed. At which time we learned that the funds from fiscal year 24 were not carried over, so we are requesting that funding be pulled from the reserve so that we can reimburse for the projects. The addresses are 7271 Olive, 7273 Olive, 8500 Olive, and 8430 Olive. The cost is $60,000, which covers the match that we promised to provide for these business owners if they were to make these facade improvements. And with that, I can take any questions.
Are there questions? Councilmember Spudson.
Thank you, Mayor. Just wanted to actually address this, and this is one of my pet peeves, and I do apologize for saying that. But again, I wanted to find out, when you say that they finished the projects, so the projects at 8430 and the projects at 8500, those projects were finished, and they paid for them out of their own pocket, and now we're reimbursing them $30,000? Is that what this is?
That is correct. So whatever they apply for, and forgive me, I don't have the applications with me. I think they are in your packet. But the work that they applied to have done has been completed. Our inspectors have gone out to verify that that work has been completed, and they have submitted their request for reimbursement, which does include proof of payment.
Okay. And that's why I needed to get a better understanding. So $8,430 and $8,500 Olive received $30,000. But in this packet, the Mac Boys actually had a sum of $43,397. So I'm not sure how that equals out, meaning that you're saying $60,000, but that leaves only a balance of $30,000. So how are you covering their approved request of $43,000?
They were actually reimbursed for one project in fiscal year 24. And we didn't have to come back to you all because that had been approved, awarded, they performed the work, and they were reimbursed. They had two projects that were lingering, and they just completed those in fiscal year 25.
Okay. All right. And the last thing that I'm saying, I do appreciate your information, because I just needed to understand what was happening, because I didn't understand that about the addresses at 8430 and 8500. But the thing that I actually, again, wanted to address to this council, and I'm hoping that we can get this done in our work study session when we have that, whenever that happens, and that is to update the facade program. But the other thing that we really have to also remember is that we're in a process of, if I'm correct, Mr. Rose, that we're in a process of improving or updating our zoning codes. We're planning on doing that. And that is absolutely critical, and this is again why I say to my colleagues that we really have to watch the money and or not give money to certain areas, and that area being 8200 through 8500 Olive Boulevard. And the reason I say that is because there's so much changing and so many things that are happening with the market at Olive Development. And I'll give you a perfect example of that. And that's why, because giving money like that and not actually addressing that area correctly, it's almost like shooting yourself in the foot. And it's hurting, we're hurting ourselves. And we really need to stop doing that. Because the thing that we should be doing in that area is we should be focused on zoning codes, updates for that area. We need to be looking at all of the tax situations or status of all the buildings on Olive, especially through 8200 and 8500 Olive, and putting a plan together that tells developers what direction we want to go in. And also make the zoning changes that we need to make so that the developers don't have to come back and make those changes. But the point that I wanted to make to all of you all is that Target has kind of really opened the door to a situation that some of you may not be aware of, and this is simply the way that I look at it. Target has an open-ended garage in the front of the store. So right on the first level, you can park in their garage. Doesn't mean you have to use the garage. It doesn't mean you have to go into the store. You can park in that garage and literally take a walk. And that's one of the things that we have been looking at and developing to making the 8500, 8400, and making those blocks walk accessible. Target has kind of opened that door now, because now you can actually get a developer and say, hey, I can put another garage at the 8201 100 block of Olive and literally have a development where you have retail stores on the odd side or the shadow side of Olive, and have those retail stores built with not even requiring them to have parking, because we're supplying that. Target is supplying that on the West End. We can have a small garage built on the East End. So all I'm simply saying to you all is that we really have to look at what's happening with that development and the effect that it can have on those blocks right proceeding right next to that. And we have to stop, again, as I said, investing money when, in 2 years, Target and Deerberg are going to be open in 26. We can have development literally change that area in a matter of 2 years after that development is open. And so that's all I wanted to say. Wanted to get that out of the way. Thank you again, Ms. Sharp, and thank you again, Mr. Rose.
Just a couple of things I would say in regard to that. I think the facade improvement program can always be improved, but I would say that I also want to be respectful of those businesses who have been in those blocks for all these years and pay taxes all these years and worked on the properties all these years, and I don't have any intention of denying them funds because a developer wants to come in and take three blocks. I also don't necessarily think that anyone on this council speaks for Target as to how they want their parking lot used. So I think we have to be careful as we paint this picture. We have an awful lot of small businesses in University City, and a lot of them have, you know, I actually agree with Councilman Smothers that I'd like to see further development on Olive, but I also want it done in a way that's respectful to all the people who have already been here and had their businesses here. And frankly, though some may disagree with me, probably in some of the similar ways we did when we did the markets at Olive. It was one where we took our time, the developer bought some land, then we went through and we did most everything voluntarily, and when there had to be eminent domain, there was eminent domain. But I don't believe that at any point in time are we in a position sitting on this dais that we should be denying businesses funds because we may think that someone's going to buy that property in the next 2 to 3 years. A good example of the deals that go south very quickly would be Frank and Helen's, when everyone thought the deal was going through and the business was coming from Clayton to Frank and Helen's, and then the whole thing fell apart. And so I'm saying that with everybody that we have to be respectful of the businesses that have been here day in and day out serving our community and making sure that we don't have overarching goals that neglect those folks. With that being said, is there a motion to approve the facade improvement fund transfer? Motion made by Councilmember Brennan, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this next item is item L1. I do not have an additional general updates, so I will move on to item L2.
Good evening. Okay.
This agenda item asks the Mayor and Council to consider approving an agreement with CivicServe to track programs and projects at a cost of $27,500 in the first year and $22,500 annual subscription. Ms. Sharp.
Thank you. So this software will allow us to start implementing a number of activities that were listed in the economic development strategy. We've already started creating a new business retention and expansion program. So this software would actually allow staff to track that, track when the last time a business was visited, what their answers were. It will also allow us to track the various programs that we are running through EDRST, but it will also allow us to track the programs that will eventually be created, hopefully approved by this council, and then implemented for the third ward revitalization initiative that we have underway. It has a number of features. It has a public-facing portal where, like, developers, anyone interested in the relocating their business to the city could go and see what we have available. It would allow us to generate the reports that we're required to submit to the state for EDRST, which is something that we do manually now. Once we create applications for the various programs, you will be, those applications will be in this system and whatnot. So it will be, the cost will be split between the Third Ward Revitalization Fund and Economic Development, as it will be used for both areas, both divisions, if you will, for community development. I do have our economic development manager here, so between the two of us, we should be able to answer any questions that you all may have.
Are there questions of Ms. Sharp? Councilmember Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Grove. So, at present, how are many of the functions that the software would address currently, kind of what we want, either EDRST reporting being a manual process? How are other functions addressed?
Manually. So, applications are manual. We do not have electronic applications. I think when we did the EDRST funding round, we tried to create like a fillable application with Adobe. But no, there are hard paper applications that people mail, drop off, et cetera, bring in. We then review them. We're making notes and emails when we're communicating with each other. An example would be a to-do list if I need Becky and the ED staff to undertake several tasks, that's going to be me emailing them versus the software will allow me to, say, go to a property and input that information and then they can track it. We will be able to communicate through that program. But the answer to your question is it's paper. It's all paper and it's all manual.
Thank you for that response. I did notice in here that one of the modules includes vacant property registration.
Yes.
So that is included, I'm assuming, in the bundle that we are purchasing.
It is. That's included in the bundle, as well as the possibility of business license and liquor license applications being handled through that software. Not something that I've discussed with the finance department yet, as it's Keith's first time hearing that, as we were looking at it for ED, but it has a number of other modules that we can use, yes.
Councilmember Turner.
Thank you, Mayor. This is very encouraging to me because I find a lot of things that we're doing kind of slow and behind. So I'm really excited to see us looking at some programming that can help us kind of get into this country. And I hope we look at other things that can modernize us and make us more efficient. Thank you.
Other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Councilmember Brenner, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this next item asks the Council to consider approval of an agreement with Passport Labs for integrated parking solution for an amount totaling $70,380.
Deputy City Manager Chris Crickle here to present this. Got to ask Mr. Crickle to spend some money tonight.
So, good evening again, Mayor and Council. I know you had a study session on this a little while ago. Hopefully, most of the questions were addressed in the memo that was attached. But were there any additional questions about the parking meter that anyone have?
Councilmember Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Grove. I may have asked this before, so forgive me if I'm being redundant. I was curious why this falls under the communications manager, because this seems, on some level, a law enforcement operation in that ticketing, I think, is handled through our police force. So I was curious why.
The actual enforcement, once the system is installed, will fall under law enforcement. It just so happens that this project dates back several years and has historically been up under the communications manager.
Okay. All right.
Councilmember Fuller.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor. Since we had this study session some time ago, does this $70,000 represent a one-time buy, or is this like going to be an annual fee?
So this would be a one-time purchase for the kiosk equipment, unless something were to catastrophically break or get damaged and we have to replace it. But then there is an annual fee of $5,000. Give me one second. I have the numbers here. The annual fee will be...
You're right. $5,000 and change.
Yeah, $5,000 and change. And then there's an extended warranty that we could get for $3,600 and change.
All right. Those will be annual fees then. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Then I've waded through this a couple of times today. It's like, in addition, the company then gets so many cents every time there's a transaction, like 37 cents. All right.
Yes.
Are there other hidden costs in here? What about warranty on the existing equipment and follow up on that? Whose problem will that be? If we're paying $5,000 a year fee, then I'm assuming that is covered. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Okay. Thank you.
Since we're not the first one to cross this river, I'm assuming that these fees are very similar to municipalities either in our area or other municipalities have this same hybrid system.
So I do have an answer to that. So I did have the same question. This is structured the same as 90% of all of their other agencies that they work with. So they work with over 1,000 other cities. So it's within 90%. It's within the 90% of what other cities use. This is similar to what St. Louis City has.
And for the public, this is one where you can both use the pay on your phone or go with the kiosk and pay. So you've got both options, right?
Correct.
Other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Councilmember Fuller, seconded by Councilmember Thiemann. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rhodes.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this next item, I ask that the Mayor and Council consider approval of a contract with Warner Shaper provide project management services for the city's FEMA flood buyout program to acquire and demolish 3 of the 4 Hackman Court buildings. Total cost of the contract is $74,160. And we have Dr. Wagner here making an appearance. Should you have any questions regarding this item?
Yeah, before you leave, FEMA FMHA for the Hackman Court Apartments, are there questions regarding this matter? I think we're all grateful that the matter is coming before us. Councilman Spokeson?
Thank you, Mayor Carl. Just a quick question in reference to the demolition. Has it been decided what happens with the land? And I know that we can't build anything there because of the FEMA program and their requirements, but again, have we figured out? Have we decided what happens?
Mayor President Sutherland, no, that will be up to the mayor and council to decide. I would likely recommend that you engage some of your boards and commission to provide recommendations to you regarding possible uses that are consistent with what is allowed by me.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I think even the Wilson Avenue land is not ours yet. I think the buyouts are occurred, but I don't think that it's ever been made city land yet. So I mean, I think after the demolition, I think there's a pretty significant passage of time before the land actually is reverted to University City, but I'm not certain that I'm thinking Wilson Avenue, I don't think is maybe something we can look at sometime, but I don't know if that's ever been brought to us. So, other questions on Hackman Court? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Councilmember Smith, seconded by Councilmember Clay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember, this next item asks that Council consider approval of contract with Turner Shapen to provide project management services for the city's FEMA flood buyout program of 12 single-family residential homes on Wilson and one building in the Apple Court apartment complex. We have Dr. Wagner here if you have any questions regarding this.
Thank you. You have a request to speak from the Bricks, and they waited patiently this entire meeting, so please come forth and give your name and address.
My name is Liam Brick, 1070 Wilson Avenue. This is my wife.
Hi, everyone. I'm Hannah, also at 1070 Wilson.
We just want to really express our gratitude with the tech department with the live streaming of the most recent city council meeting. We were unexpectedly out of town last month to address a family emergency. And so we're disappointed to miss that meeting, but we're really grateful to be able to watch it live. While no emergency is expected, our world is rocked. We're looking at months of complex administrative tasks ahead of us. While this situation would be devastating for anybody, our complicated history of flood-related trauma, paperwork, and emotional distress as the layers to this experience, we dream of how much easier it would be to manage family crisis or our day-to-day lives without constant stress to Wilson Avenue. We have no recent flooding to report, thankfully, which we're incredibly grateful for. Each month, we hope to find ourselves a few steps closer to the buyout. We're extremely grateful to Dr. Wagner for his efforts during his tenure at University City, and we're eager for this project manager to begin. We do find it difficult to wait between city council meetings because of the communication breakdown, when we haven't had much communication in general. We fear that without the outer presence of these meetings, the project would be delayed or forgotten. We would welcome additional communication from this project manager and any other stakeholders about the project, which can help us to make decisions and plans for the next months and years of our life together. Thank you, as always, everybody. We appreciate the continued efforts and supports.
Thank you very much. You have before you the FEMA HMGP Flood Buyout Program letter. Are there questions of Mr. Rose or Dr. Wagner? Councilmember Brenner. Hearing none, is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Councilmember Fuller, seconded by Councilmember Thiemann. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Honorable Mayor, before moving on, if I could take this opportunity just to recognize Dr. Wagner, who has moved on to a city that I will let remain nameless. But I did want to publicly express my appreciation, not just for his work on the buyout program, but he was instrumental, as all of you know, in really navigating the comprehensive plan and getting that through to its completion. So thank you so much. I really appreciated the work that you did.
Yes, we all appreciate all of you. Give a comment.
I just want to say that some of those comments being made, and I realize this is not in order, but I want to say something personal, which is to say that I think in politics, we don't talk enough about feelings, about how we feel. And I think that we've been extraordinarily lucky in this city to work not only with both council members, but civil service, that we both respect them all. And it's made it much, much easier to work in this doctor. Right, that it's not a compliment, it's a nice compliment. and we're going to miss it. And I think we need to emphasize that fit because we're all thinking people and we live in an enlightenment democratic republic, but, you know, we're also post-Freudian and we've got feelings and we need to talk about our feelings more. And so I thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now move forward with unfinished business. We have before us Bill number 9573. Madam Clerk, we have a second reading.
Bill 9573, an ordinance amending Chapter 110 of University City Municipal Code related to administration by repealing Section 110.040 thereof relating to disclosure of conflicts of interest and enacting in lieu thereof a new section to be known as Section 110.040, disclosure of conflicts of interest.
We have a third reading.
Bill 9573, an ordinance amending Chapter 110 of the University City Municipal Code relating to administration by repealing Section 110.040 thereof relating to disclosures of conflicts of interest and enacting in lieu thereof a new section to be known as Section 110.040, disclosure of conflicts of interest.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Councilmember McMahon. Is there a second? Second by Councilmember Brenner. Sorry about that. With motion and a second, is there a discussion or questions? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Tiedemann.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Brenner.
Aye.
Councilmember Fuller.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember Clyde.
Aye.
Mayor Crowe.
Aye. The bill is passed. We now have before us Bill number 9574. May we have a second reading?
Bill 9574, an ordinance approving a final plat for a minor subdivision of land at 7498 Delmore Boulevard.
We have a third reading.
Bill 9574, an ordinance approving a final plat for a minor subdivision of land at 7498 Delmore Boulevard.
Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Councilmember Fuller. Is there a second? Second by Councilmember McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Brenner?
Aye.
Councilmember Fuller?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Councilmember Tiedemann?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. The bill is passed. We now have before us Resolution 2025-11. A resolution approving the issuance of Belts by Industrial Development Authority of the University of City, Missouri to find examples of rehabilitation park and place apartments. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Councilmember Clay, seconded by Councilmember McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Wait, that's right. Yeah, aye. Just got one resolution to the next kind of bill. Those opposed. Any opposed? The bill is passed. Now we've got introduction of Bill number 95. It's a resolution, not a bill. We now have the introduction of Bill number 9575. Who would like to introduce? Councilmember Smotherson. And the clerk, may we have the first reading?
Bill 9575, an ordinance approving certain amended documents related to the 711 and 717 Kingsland Community Improvement District and the city's taxable industrial revenue bonds, 711 Kingsland Avenue Project, Series 2025.
Thank you very much. That concludes our new business for the evening. Are there council reports from the commissions? Councilmember Brenner.
I personally, at the request of several citizens, are putting together a pilot meeting, which will be held tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Centennial Common in the conference room. And we're putting together the idea of organizing an emergency response group from the citizenry, which obviously will come under supervision of the fire department. Chief Hudson knows that this is being proposed, and we're going to try and stay out of his hair, but we support. So for those of you who are live streaming, we're putting together a group of ideas tomorrow night, and hopefully this will get into more community involvement that will address disasters and those sorts of things that I'm sorry we are more frequently experiencing. May I take license and go on to one other item?
You have license,
Greg. Thank you, sir. Going on to an earlier discussion that involved the project going up, or the project that's being proposed for the cemetery, I also want to be very forthright here. My chain has gotten rattled a lot this week by folks that have a supplementary committee that have gone ahead and tried to readdress flooding issues that had already been vetted through the Planning Commission. And I, like Councilman Clay, really don't participate in social media, but we were the point of media, not national media, but local media, on a story that really addressed a different issue. And I just want the citizenry to know that that particular project has not come forth other than through the Planning Commission, and had been vetted by the Stormwater Commission, and that came up, and a couple of us got calls from the media that were not appropriate. And I'm just going on record of saying that I'm going back to maybe the Councilman Tiemann's issue. We are not at fault here, and I don't appreciate groups pushing their agenda on the back of another project. And if you have questions, I'd be happy to talk with you about that. Thank you.
Councilmember Tiemann.
Completely different issue. Honorable Mayor, members of the council, as many of you know, I used to live in Mexico City. I am mindful that before our next meeting, Mexico will celebrate its Independence Day. Many here think Mexican Independence Day is celebrated on Cinco de Mayo, which actually is the commemoration of a victory in battle. Independence Day is the 16th of September, the day Father Miguel Hidalgo rang the church bell and gave his famous call to arms, the cry of independence ending with "Long live Mexico." To honor our Mexican and our Mexican-American neighbors, who I hope will forgive my terrible accent, I offer these words in Spanish and in English. Honorable alcalde, miembros del consejo, el día de la independencia de México es político, sí. También es una celebración dedicada a la cultura de nuestros hermanos y hermanas mexicanos. Por lo tanto, nos unimos con nuestros vecinos y unámonos con Miguel Hidalgo en decir viva México. Viva los hijos y las hijas de esta hermosa nación. And in English. Honorable Mayor, members of the council, Mexican Independence Day is political, yes. It is also a celebration dedicated to the culture of our Mexican brothers and sisters. Therefore, we join with our neighbors, and let us join with Miguel Hidalgo in saying, long live Mexico. Long live the sons and daughters of that beautiful nation.
comments this evening. I think some of my colleagues were on council at this time, but last week ago Sunday, I happened to be at church just across the way, and one of our residents who happens to go to church with me had a medical emergency, and we were fortunate that we had a nurse nearby and actually up here a couple of doctors nearby. But in making sure that everyone was okay, we called 911. And our wonderful paramedics were there, I think, 3 minutes, I think, probably pretty close to that. And they came in to a lady who was probably a little bit disconcerted and had passed out, and they started talking about what she had for breakfast, where they went for breakfast, and it was the most professional, casual gathering of information. While they took all of her statistics, they took blood, they did everything. And I know that I'm pretty sure that three of you were on council with me. It made me very proud of the votes we took in 2019 to bring our EMS folks back. Because I remember the problems that we had with this outsource. And I stood there and watched those folks with immense pride at how professionally caring they were to someone. And it just was, it made all those votes and all those battles that we had worthwhile. So to all the folks who keep us safe and make the city hum, I would say to all of you, thank you very much. And with that, I would welcome a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri by Statute 610.021, legal action, consultative action, litigation involving public governmental body, and any confidential privilege communication between that governmental body or its representatives or attorneys. Is there such a motion? Motion made by Councilmember Mann, seconded by Councilmember Teen. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Councilmember Brenner?
Aye.
Councilmember Fuller?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Councilmember Tiemann?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.